Blog Talk Radio.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise, with praise. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Most gracious Father, we adore you and we thank you. We bless you. We're so appreciative to have another opportunity to come, Father, to serve in your kingdom. We thank you for trusting us. We thank you for grooming us. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your kindness, your love, your blessings, your spirit. God, we thank you for all these things. We confess every sin of omission and every sin of commission. Father, we embrace the gifts of a brand new day. We thank you for it, and now we surrender the day back over to you. Father, that you will unfold this day any way you want to unfold it. And we say thank you for the Life for Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Thank you for the endurance. Thank you for the faith. Thank you, Father, that we're not who we used to be. Thank you for the process of becoming. Thank you that we are who you say we are. Thank you, Father, for absolute victory over every satanic agenda, plot, plan, scheme, ploy, and contract, that it will not take root, it will not prosper, and it most definitely will not, cannot, shall not come to pass. We honor you, we bless you, we praise you. Father, we commit this day into your hands, this service into your hands. And may you and you alone be glorified in it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen again. We will bless the Lord at all times, and God's praise shall continually be in our mouths. So, oh, taste and see that the Lord God, he is good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to the Life for Jesus Kingdom Ministries. I'm Apostle Dr. Alfreda. Amen. Hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. TGIF, today God is first, and we come seeking first his kingdom and all of his righteousness. Thanking God for another day. Amen. That he has made. And we thank you for being here with us on today. Glory be to God. We pray that you will enjoy the services today. Amen. Just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Amen. Every morning we are here by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, by the provisions of God, by the blessings of God. Amen. Everything is about God. It's in him we move, we live, and we have our being. And we bless Jesus. All right, all right, all right. We've been amen, highlighting and spotlighting, amen, all of our speakers for our Good Friday services. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so we have Mrs. Jasmine Brown. Amen, amen, amen. And she was our second or third speaker, and she spoke on Woman, Behold Thy Son, Son, Behold Thy Mother. Amen. So we applaud her. Amen. On today. And we want to, amen, listen to this clip, beloved, because faith cometh by hearing. That's how we get faith. Just keep hearing. Amen. Keep on hearing. Amen. What you heard yesterday, hear it again today. And the next day. And the next day. And every day. Hallelujah. And the more you hear, the more you're going to grow. And if your faith is growing, you are growing. And if your faith is not growing, you're not growing. And if your faith is growing, God is pleased. Amen. Because it takes faith to please God. Amen. So let us listen to her. Amen. And then we will be back to recap that. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son." I'm just going to go and dive right in. Just to give a little bit more context, I'm going to start at verse 25, and I'm going to read from 25 through 27, and then I'm just going to give some thoughts of what this means to me and just what I've studied. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." I just find it incredibly amazing how perfect Jesus was, even unto death, unto the very brink of death. He still was so selfless and so loving and so compassionate. He's literally on the cross being crucified, dying. And he still manages to give kingdom principles. Because we know if we read the Gospels, and even after the Gospels and into Acts when he rose again and showed himself to the disciples all over, the message that Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. When I prayed and did some more research of, you know, just somewhere in the Bible where this correlates to something else, because a lot of things in the Bible correlate to something else, in a different book, a different verse, or, you know, what have you. I was led to James. And in James chapter 1, verse 27, he talks about how a pure and genuine religion before God is taking care of orphans and widows in their distress. I'll just go ahead and read it. In the New Living Translation, it reads, and again, this is James chapter 1, verse 27. "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." That just, again, it blew my mind, because Jesus is dying and he's still preaching and teaching and just showing, giving an example of kingdom living. In this sense, take care of this widow. We can assume that by this time Mary is in fact a widow, because once, anyway, in the Bible that Jesus walks in his ministry, we don't hear too much of anything, if anything, about his father, Joseph, who was Mary's wife. So we can assume that she was a widow. And caring for widows and orphans in their time of distress. Mary is sitting here witnessing her literal miracle child from heaven dying on the cross, suffering for no reason. I can't imagine a greater distress than that. As a mother myself, I just couldn't imagine. And he sees her and he tells the disciple whom we love, if you read, also read in the Gospels, we know that the disciple whom Jesus loved was John, you know, take care of her. This is your mother now. I also find it so incredible, like Jesus is so, he's just so wise and just thinks beyond whatever we could think of and comprehend. I don't think a greater person could have been appointed that. We know that it says that Jesus loved him. We know that Jesus had, aside from the 12 disciples, he had three main ones who we would say was his best friend. These were three that, you know, he often took when he went to lonely places to pray or when he wanted to work miracles and he needed a certain type of faith with no doubt, or, you know, he took him to the top of the mountain to be transfigured. Like, we know that these were his best friends and they knew him. They knew him. John knew Jesus's heart. He knew, in a sense, what the Father looked like because he was with Jesus. Jesus was, again, John was whom Jesus loved. He was his favorite, we could say. And again, Jesus on the brink of death to just still be able to practice and teach and be an example of what it is to live as a kingdom citizen, what it is to live within the kingdom, not leaving anything to be forgotten or unexplained. I would go as far to say that widows and orphans are probably some, amongst other, of the most forgotten people in the world. They're literally people who, a widow, their husband is gone. The husband takes care of his bride. He takes care of his wife. And when she's gone, who's there to really take care of her like that, like a beloved husband? Orphans are, you know, sometimes abandoned by parents, more times than not. Or sometimes their parents die. They're just gone. They're forgotten. And I just find it so beautiful that Jesus didn't even forget. He didn't forget anything. He literally, when it was finished for him, he made sure that it was finished, not forgetting anyone. I think that it just goes to show that the things that are forgotten or the people that feel most forgotten are the ones that are the closest to God's heart. They're the ones who Jesus really manifests himself to in the kingdom. I found it even more interesting that, you know, that verse that we just read about the orphans and widows is found in James. This is James, Jesus' brother, not James, the brother of John. It's Jesus' actual brother, Mary's son. Why didn't he appoint this last thing to him? Well, if you later read your Bible, which I've been doing the research, in 1 Corinthians 15:7, we read that Jesus appeared to James, and James was not an original follower of Jesus. He didn't even believe that Jesus was more than just, you know, his brother, the carpenter, until after Jesus died and then rose again and showed himself to him. Then he believed. Then he had this revelation or this you know, word from God about what it truly means to have a religion in the sight of God, taking care of orphans and widows. I just, to me, again, I'm so glad that this was something that I could study and dive deeper into, because I myself, I never thought of it that way. I never thought that, wow, the Savior of the world, who knows everything, who cares about everything, who, you know, taught everything until he was completely empty. He didn't leave a single thing untaught or, you know, untold. That's amazing to me. That's good news. It's great news. So I would say to anyone listening or, you know, feeling forgotten, Jesus doesn't forget. If you're feeling forgotten or low or just unrecognized, you are on the forefront of God the Father's mind. He has somebody appointed to you to take care of you on this earth. He's, of course, he takes care of us. He's our Father. He's, you know, the lover of our soul. He knows everything about us. But you're not forgotten in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus. Jesus is in heaven right at this moment praying for you. So I hope you find strength in that. I hope you find encouragement in that. I hope that anyone who knows any widows or orphans or anyone for that matter that feels forgotten, that you reach out and you do your due service to the Lord as being a part of the kingdom to take care and check on these individuals that may not have people around to check up on them, to love them the way they need to care for them. It may seem something small, insignificant, but to me, it must be something huge if Jesus was saying this and he literally was dying and he didn't forget this. So we shouldn't forget it either. It's our rightful service. It's part of being a follower of God. It's part of us having the mind and heart of Christ. I hope that blessed you. I hope that gave you a different perspective on how to look at this particular verse. And I hope that you have an awesome, awesome, awesome Good Friday and Easter Sunday.
Yes, yes, Jesus died. Amen, 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 amen. Bless the Lord, and we want to applaud, amen, our sister Jasmine Brown, amen, for her elaboration, amen, a woman. Behold thy son, son, behold thy mother, amen. These are young women in the Lord, amen, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, studying to show themselves approved unto God, amen. And so we thank the Lord. And she all of our speakers this year brought it home from a different perspective. And I'm telling you, even myself, I've been blessed and received something out of everybody's elaboration that I really haven't focused on too much before. And as our sister Jasmine, amen, clearly communicated, here Jesus is in his dying breath. His dying breath, but yet and still, amen, he's caring for people. When someone needs to be caring for him, he was caring for the widows. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, beloved? And the same way that Jesus was caring for the widows, amen, at the cross, amen, before his death, we want you to know that he is still caring for them. Amen. Glory be to God. And he cares for you too. The scripture, amen, that Sister Jasmine shared with us, amen, glory be to God, James, in the book of James, chapter number 1, amen, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. And so, beloved, we are told, amen, to care for the orphans, and we are also told to care for the widows. Amen. And if we are Christian, this is the obligation, amen, of us. If we are Christian, we should be looking out for them. Now, in the first century, beloved, at that particular time, they didn't have welfare checks. They didn't have special agencies, you know, that took care of the widows and took care of the poor. That wasn't around. glory be to God. And so if you were a widow back in those times, you had very little means of economic support because the breadwinner was gone, because the women didn't work. The women stayed home, took care of the house, took care of the children, which is a very high calling, by the way. Some people look down on the fact that you're a housewife or homemaker, but I want you to know you are, when a woman works outside of the house, she is doing more than what God has ever called her to do. Because that woman's first responsibility is to her husband and to her children. And that's the word. Glory be to God. And so, beloved, so when the husband died, y'all know in a couple instances, and the husband, especially with the husband left debt, and the wife had no way to pay for it, they will come and get your children. You have to sell your children to pay your debt. There wasn't no filing no bankruptcy. Then you couldn't go down to the court and file bankruptcy back then. Those days, that just didn't exist. See? So a widow back in those times had very little economic support. They were dependent upon family members to care for them. And if they didn't have any family members, then they were out there begging. They said, we got to feed these babies some kind of way. They say, look, I got something to sell. I may not have no furniture, but I got something to sell. They were, you know, desperate measures. See? Sometimes they would sell themselves as slaves just to get a couple dollars. See, a couple dollars to keep things going. And in some situations, beloved, they starved to death where they refused to compromise. They said, you know, I ain't going out like that. I ain't selling my body. I ain't selling my babies. I just think this, I just die. And so, beloved, by caring for these powerless people and others in need, the church was putting God's word into practice. And the Bible tells us very plainly in 1 Timothy, I'm going to go to 1 Timothy in 1 minute. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to close on that one. But James 1:27 says, glory be to God, hallelujah, visit the orphans and the widows in their distress. Those who are widows indeed. Every widow, everybody say they a widow, they ain't a widow. Everybody who say they a widow, you ain't a widow. You just, you single, you divorced, you separated, we got it. Let's find what category you fall into. But just because you don't have a husband don't make you a widow. He said, widows indeed. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name. Beloved, claiming loyalty to God means more than worshiping in church. It involves truly serving others. Truly serving others. Timothy, amen, glory be to God. Chapter number five, verse number three. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Beloved, we both have a responsibility. Amen. We are called to be responsible and we are called to be generous all at the same time. See, because Paul wants Christian families to be as self-supporting as possible. And he is insisting here that children and grandchildren take care of the widows in the family. The children and the grandchildren. How can one woman give birth to 12 children and not one of the 12 want to take care of the mama? That always amazes me. Always, mama gets sick. Hey, with this storm, mama in the nursing home. You too busy. Your schedule too busy. Mommy can't come live here. Nah, I got an agenda. I'm busy. Nobody want to take care of mama. Paul also suggested that the younger widows we marry and start their family. When you read the whole chapter, 1 Timothy chapter number 5, amen, he breaks it down, especially if you're under the age of 60. You're a young widow. It's better to marry than to burn. All right? Just go ahead and get married again. You have free privilege. There's nothing stopping you from getting married. Your husband is graveyard dead. All right, so go ahead, and it's okay to get married again. Just make sure you're marrying the right person now. You just don't want a pair, two legs and a pair of britches. Also, Paul ordered the church not to support any lazy members of the family who refuse to work. Sometimes people just don't want to work and want you to sit back and take care of them. And Paul said, no, that ain't going to fly. He said, that ain't going to fly. Nevertheless, when necessary, the believers, what they did when we read in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, they pooled their resources together. And they gave generously to help disaster-ridden churches. And they also took care of a very large number of widows. And you can read about it in Acts chapter number 6, verses 1 through 6. The widows didn't have to worry about being evicted. They didn't have to worry about none of that shady stuff, okay? They didn't have to worry about their children. They didn't have to worry about it. The bills was met. The same way, you know, Social Security or whatever does today. Okay, and most widows got a little monthly something coming in. It ain't much. They can't go on vacation on it. All right, but if they manage their money well, they know they got a roof over their head and they can keep the utilities on. Beloved, the government should not be doing that for the widows and the church. That's not the God never called. Matter of fact, the government should be taking care of any God's people. That's man-made stuff. That's man-made stuff. Some people are lazy. Some people are ignorant. Some people are, you know, just don't know, don't have the faith. You know, look, you're not going to reject the money, but you sure enough can do better. The church was established to take care of the orphans and the widows. That's the purpose of the church when the people bring the money to the church. The people stealing and robbing God and won't give God tithe and going to want to throw God an offering every now and then. Beloved, look, if you don't give God tithe, you can't give him an offering. He don't even accept your offering if you're robbing him. That doesn't pacify the Lord. He said, bring meat into my storehouse. See? The church has always had limited resources and has always had to balance financial responsibility with generosity. Only makes sense for members to work as hard as they can and to be as independent as possible so that they can adequately care for themselves and for members who are not so well off. Somebody got to work. Somebody got to bring the money in. Glory be to God. And with the money, beloved, we have to remember that it all belongs to God. Not just the 10%. The 90% belongs to him too. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It all belongs to him. And so we have to be responsible. But beloved, what the Lord is saying here is that not only do we need to be responsible, but we also need to be generous and making sure that everyone's needs are met. Everyone's needs, the widow's needs, the orphan's needs, and anybody else in need. Do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Who have you been neglecting, my sister, my brother? Isn't it amazing how we can just step right over people? You know somebody has a need. You know them babies hungry. You know hunger is a terrible thing. And we throw food in the garbage every week. I throw food in the garbage, I ask God to forgive me. I'm the type of person, I don't cook another meal until I eat everything that's in my refrigerator. If it takes 3 days, I ain't cooking another thing. So I refuse to throw food away. But how many people do you know? And I've seen it with my own eyes. You find out somebody have a need, and instead of you talking to the Lord to see what you can do to bless that person and accommodate that person, you want to send that person away hungry. Oh, God gonna make a way, sis. Oh, he gonna make a way. Don't worry about it. Yeah, God gonna send you some food. God gonna send you some money to pay that bill. Yeah, well, that's why they talking to you. Maybe that's why they're talking to you. Jesus, in his dying breath, made sure that the widows was taken care of. Beloved, what about you? What about you? You're still alive. What are you doing? What are you doing to bless somebody else? What are you doing to encourage somebody else? What about giving somebody a ride? Glory be to God. We have senior citizens in our neighborhood. Glory be to God. Have you ever even, you know, give them a ride to the supermarket? Or, hey, I'm going to the supermarket. You need anything? A lot of times we don't ask because we're afraid they might be spying. You ever talk to somebody? I've been in a situation myself. Thank God for the grace of God and the mercies of God. And you're in need, and you're talking to somebody. And you're trying to get there, tell them what you need. And before you can even get it out, nah, I ain't got nothing, baby. I ain't got nothing. But it shows where that person's heart is. Because they don't even know what you need. You didn't even get around to it. Maybe you just needed $2 to get on the bus to get to your destination. The person never even went
far enough to hear what you need, cut you off, let you know they ain't got nothing. Beloved, that's not God. I'm going to hear you out. And if I can't help you, we're going to pray, and I'm going to see if the Lord, what the Lord wants to download. Let's see what we can do, amen, to make sure you okay. Because, beloved, what you do for others, God will do for you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Just because you're in one place right now, baby, don't mean you're going to be there tomorrow. You want to know how many professional people are living out on the street, living from paycheck to paycheck, doctors and lawyers, professional people, doctorate degrees, all type of living out on the streets. Oh, yes, they used to have the big houses. They used to have the fine cars. They used to have the money in the bank. They used, baby, let me tell you something. You don't never know where you're going to be tomorrow. So you need to get rid of that spiritual arrogance and that stingy attitude, glory be to God, and humble yourself and know that anything that God gave you, amen, he gave it to you to be a steward. And see what God will have you to do for somebody. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And what you do for others, God will do for you. God, when you reach your hard place, God will remember. Oh, he remembers. He'll remember what you did. People might not remember. That's okay. God got a good memory. He'll remember. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your giving is not in vain. How dare you close your hand to the poor and to the needy? And let me tell you, God will even test you this way. God will tell you to do something for somebody who's not poor, who's not needy, look like they got more going on than you. God will test your faith. Let's see what you're going to do. Beloved, are you failing? Are you passing the test? Because a lot of times it's just a test. Just because somebody look like they're doing good, you don't know the details. You don't know the details about their mortgage payment. You don't know the details about that car. They driving that big, pretty car. Somebody could have gave them that car. Somebody could have gave them that house. Glory be to God. Huh? Hallelujah. Beloved, let us pass the test. Amen. So we want to thank God. Amen. For Jesus caring for the widows. Hallelujah. In his dying breath, he's still caring for the widows. And Jesus is caring for you too. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. And how can we love God whom we have not seen? Amen. And not love our brothers and our sisters whom we see every day. Amen. Saints, let us do better. Let us do better. You've never seen a Wells Fargo in a funeral line. You ain't taking not $1 with you. Storing all your money in the bank. You better hope it's in the bank when you get there in the morning. Huh? Oh, you won't get... Let me tell you something. Anything you don't give to God, the devil going to take it. Oh, you best believe it. You can't afford to pay your tithes? No, 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 no. You can't afford not to pay your tithes. The devil going to take it. Oh, you're going to need a new roof? Oh, you're going to have, don't get a medical bill. Don't get a medical bill. When I had my operation, beloved, thank God I had good insurance. They sent me a copy of what they paid the hospital, $300,000. Oh, don't get a medical bill. Beloved, We have to remember that none of this belongs to us. None of this. None of this. None of this. None. When Rockefeller died, which at that time he was one of the richest men, amen, in his generation. And they're around asking, you know, what did he leave? What did he leave? What did he leave? What did he leave? Somebody turned around and said he left everything. Everything. Every dollar. All the billions that he had, he left every dollar. Because it ain't taking none of that money with you if you go to heaven, and you ain't taking none of that money with you if you don't go to heaven, because you don't need it. We have to know the purpose. We have to know the purpose of money. What is the purpose of money? And we need to be taught, especially in certain generations. We don't know, because the majority of our money goes out of the community. And that's a whole different lesson all on itself. But we have to know the purpose of money. Glory be to God. God gives us the power to get wealth. But wealth is a mindset. And this is why the Bible says the poor you have among you always. That's what Jesus said. Because he knew that their mind was not going to change. Their mindset was not going to change. They were going to get stuck in that poverty mentality. But Jesus didn't neglect them, because they was thinking low. Jesus didn't neglect them. Jesus didn't neglect anybody who needed help. Beloved, you can't help everybody, but just show enough somebody you can help, and I guarantee you, you can do better than what you're doing today. Amen. Will you try? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to say thank you for the word of God on today that never returns into your void. God, we lift up the widows today, because, oh, God, the widows, Father God, these widow and widowers, we thank God for these men and women. Father God, who lost their spouse, raising the children in their own, making all type of sacrifices, Father, to keep things going, not slipping around, slipping people in at night and all that stuff, living holy. Father God, but they're human, and they have all type of needs, physical needs, mental needs, financial needs. Father God, bless these men and women. Bless them. Bless them, Father. And Father God, we know the church should be taking care of them, but we know in most cases the church don't. And so, Father God, help the legislators to back up off this Social Security and at least give our seniors what they worked on. Our seniors built this country on their back. How dare them try to snatch a couple thousand dollars a month, minimum wage money. Father God, shut the conversation down. Matter of fact, give Social Security a boost and an increase. Father God, and we say thank you, and we say thank you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, all right, all right. We bless the name of the Lord. Amen. We want to invite you to meet us, amen, at the altar prayer today, amen, at 12 o'clock. Amen. In Jesus' name, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to keep on praying. And our corporate prayer petition is our this generation. What's going on? When you watch the news lately, you notice that all of these murders in the schools and the killing the people at the bank and all this, the government fraud and all, it's really like the people in the ages of 20 and 30, around that age right there, they're having a rough time. Something went wrong. These are young people. Something went wrong, saints. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. And so what are we going to do? We're going to pray. And we're going to keep praying that these same young people in this same age bracket, amen, will be the ones that God used, amen, to help turn this world around and turn this generation around. We're not going to give up on our young people. They are under satanic influence and attack. Nobody goes into a Christian school and just starts shooting up folks with rifles. Nobody goes into a bank and shoot up all your ex-employees with rifles. Nah. This ain't normal. This ain't normal, and we're not going to accept it as so. We're going to keep praying. Meet us today. Amen. Let us lift up this generation. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be back again tomorrow morning, Lord's willing. Amen. We're going to give reference to one more speaker. Amen. On the Good Friday service. Amen. And then that'll conclude. Amen. Our recap. And we pray that you have, amen, enjoyed the word of God as it continues to come forth. Amen. Today is offering day here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministry. The gospel is free, but it takes money to do ministry. Amen. Glory be to God. I shared a very interesting concept that the Holy Spirit revealed to me last week. I received news that when our minister Nia, my daughter, she gave the last saying on the seven last saying, our sister Valerie had some people in her car and they was listening. And then afterwards, because she was the last speaker, I gave the altar call. She had two people in the back of her car, and they gave their life to Christ. Now, that's just two. Actually, I received word that four people gave their life to Christ. But my point is this. Elder Valerie is going to get credit for the two people that gave their life to Christ. She's going to get credit for that. Because she asked them if they want to get saved. They said, yes. She didn't even want to do this. She didn't even want to put the people in her car because she had other things to do. It was a sacrifice for her to do it, but she did it. So she's going to get credit for that. She's going to get stars in her crown for that. Nia is going to get stars in her crown because she was the one, they got saved on Nia, on the word that Nia brought forth for Good Friday. I'm going to get stars in my crown because I'm the one who orchestrated the Good Friday service. When you support this ministry with your financial dollars, guess what? You get stars in yours too. And you might have been on the other side of your blip that day. But you see, your money will speak for you when you're planting good soil. When you're planting good soil, let me tell you something. You know what they say about rich people, and it's true? That they make money while they sleeping. and that's how the kingdom works. Amen. Glory be to God. There's several ways that you can sow into this ministry. Amen. We have a Cash App, $LifeWordJesus, $LifeWordJesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 461, P.O. Box 461, Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. And or you can just go straight to our website at lifewordjesus.org, hit the connect button, amen, and give right there, amen, your tax deductible donation to our ministry. Thank you so much, amen, for your faithful giving. All right, saints, that's it, amen. No Friday night service tonight. We meet every other Friday night, amen. So we'll be back here, Lord's willing, again tomorrow morning, same time, same place, same station. Amen. We pray that everybody have a good day, a wonderful day, a glorious day. Walk in the blessing because the blessed manifestation, it is already here. We bind every spirit of retaliation. We nullify it. We cancel it. We destroy it. And we declare the lordship of Jesus. And Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings. And Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Love you. Amen. Pastor Alfreda, Philadelphia. Amen. Signing out. And remember, hallelujah, look to see what widow, amen, what orphan, what person, amen, that God can use you to, amen, use you to be a blessing to them. And being a blessing to them, you've been a blessing to yourself. Amen. God bless you.
My soul, Savior, Savior,
My soul.